If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, we'll begin at verse 4. And this is the Apostle Paul explaining how he came to know the Lord. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightest of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Here we see outlined Paul declaring his life from a youth, from a young man, and of how he comes to know the Lord, how he has this great vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins by saying that he was a Pharisee, he was of a very strict group of Jews. And he considered himself, and others would have considered him, a very religious man. He was very zealous for the things of God. He was very strict in what he did and what he said. And the Pharisees heaped upon themselves many extra laws in order to protect themselves. And you see tonight, I wonder if we search our hearts, I wonder tonight if you find yourself in a similar position to Paul, the Apostle Paul. Do you find yourself in a similar position where you're living, as it were, a life that is religious rather than a life where you've had that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than having a vision of Christ, rather than having experienced Christ, rather than knowing Christ, rather than that, you have are just going through this religiosity whereby you're just doing religious things. You're going to church, you're doing these things, but it's religion, not an experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where Paul was at that point. He was in that place where all he knew was religion. It was him thinking he could do things for a good God, but he had none of that relationship with the Lord. But he also says something else. He also says how he persecuted the Christians. He also says that because he thought he was doing something good for God, he went and he saw them put to death, he imprisoned them, he forced them to blaspheme, he came against the Christians. And we may look at this and say, what a dreadful thing that is. But it also should bring comfort to us tonight. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ should save a person like Paul, if he should deliver him, if he should free him from his sin, if he should bring him into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter how bad we have been. It doesn't matter how awful our sin is. And when we think of our lives, the things that we've done, the things we've said, the things we've thought, and maybe tonight you're thinking of things that you have done in the past, and you feel such a sense of guilt about these things, and you feel shame over what you've done. Well, the wonderful news is this, that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we look at Paul, and we think of how he was forgiven, and even though he persecuted Christians, even though he put them to death, even though he imprisoned them, yet he was forgiven. And so we can take heart from this, knowing that no matter what we've done, we can know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that having gone through his life as a man who was zealous for the things of God, it then says that there came that day where it says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. And there he was journeying. He was on a road, and his desire was to go and persecute Christians. That's what he was desiring to do. That's what he was planning. That's what his mission was. And suddenly, there was this incredible light that overwhelmed even the glory of the sun, so that this light was brighter than the sun. Imagine it. Think of how bright that light must have been, that it would make the sun look dim in comparison. And this light was the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight, you may have come to church many times, and I wonder tonight, have you though had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had that revelation of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his goodness, of his grace, of his forgiveness, of his mercy? Have you seen him as the King of Kings? Have you seen him as the Lord over all? Because at that moment, as Paul was walking along the way, suddenly he has this vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees him as the one who is Lord. He sees him as the one who is King over all. He sees him as the one who is clothed in majesty. And I wonder tonight, have you seen Jesus in that way, who reigns over all, and yet is so merciful and so gracious and so loving? I wonder, have you seen him like that? Because that's the sort of vision that the Lord wants to give to you. He wants to speak into your heart, wants to reveal himself to your soul tonight. That's what he wants to do. You see, God is spirit, and we have a spirit, and God wants to communicate to your spirit and reveal Jesus to your spirit. And that's what he wants to do tonight. If you will only open your heart and allow him, he will reveal Jesus to you. And you can know and experience the living Lord Jesus Christ. You can know him for yourself. It will be a real experience. It won't be so many people look on of Christianity, and they think it's just about a set of rules and about a religion. And that is what the Apostle Paul, before he became a Christian, that's what he saw an experience with God was. He thought it was all about religion. He thought it was about obeying lots of rules. He thought it was about doing what he thought would please God. And suddenly, in that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole understanding of what Christianity is, of what a relationship with God is, suddenly changed completely. And suddenly he realized it was a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly he realized it was knowing the one who had created all things, the one who is Lord of all, and knowing his love, and knowing his mercy, and knowing his grace, and knowing his care. And suddenly everything of all his a life of experience of God suddenly changed in a moment. And so what we're speaking of this evening is not about a set of rules that you've suddenly got to abide by, but it's a life-changing experience where you come into communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a life that is suddenly transformed, and you can enter into that. And that is what Paul entered into. Now he then records what the Lord said to him. And it says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads." And he says, "Saul, Saul," because that was his previous name. And the Lord says, "Why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to fight against what I'm saying to you." You see, you may be hearing the voice of the Lord tonight. In past weeks, you may have heard the voice of the Lord. As you've spent time alone, just about your daily business, you may have heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you, revealing your sin in your heart. There's been that sense of guilt in your heart. You felt shame. You've thought about the things that you've done in the past, and you felt guilty about them. And the Lord has been speaking to you, but you've been trying to shut out his voice. And you've been trying to say, "I don't want to hear that. I want to just be at peace. I want to go on doing my own thing, going about my own life, doing my own thing, not being troubled by the voice of the Lord, not by being troubled by what he's saying, not having my heart troubled by a conviction, not having my heart troubled by a guilty conscience. I want to shut out that voice of the Lord." But the Lord is saying, it's hard to keep kicking against what I'm trying to say to you. It's a painful thing when you try and resist God. It is. People think that it's a hard thing to submit to the Lord. It's a hard, far harder thing to resist the Lord. Let me say that tonight. If you're hearing the voice of the Lord, it is a far harder thing to resist the Lord than to submit to the Lord. And when you hear his voice, to say, "Yes, Lord, I acknowledge that I have sinned, and I believe that Jesus died for me." And then the Lord speaks to him, and he calls him to do a particular purpose. And this is the essence of the good news that we are here to share with you. It is this: to open their eyes. This is verse 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You see, it's suddenly to have your spiritual eyes open to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not known that experience of him just communing with him, that fellowship with him, do you realize that your spiritual eyes are blind because you haven't seen Jesus? But he wants to open your eyes tonight. He wants to open your spiritual eyes. It's a dreadful thing to be physically blind. And it's an even more dreadful thing to be spiritually blind. Not to have a revelation of Jesus. To see his beauty. To see his goodness. To see his love. To see his grace. To see just the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to open your eyes so that you see Jesus, who is the most wonderful in all the world. To see Jesus. And it says to turn them from darkness to light. You may say tonight, I'm not in darkness. But you see, the reality is, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you're in darkness. You cannot discern, but you cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. You're in darkness because a sin has caused you to be in darkness. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. You're not full of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shine his light, his very self, into your heart. He wants to fill you with Jesus. He wants to fill you with himself. That you know the fullness of Jesus tonight. He wants to give you that real experience of Jesus tonight. And you can know him. And the moment you know him, you'll be turned from darkness to light. And it also says, from the power of Satan unto God. You say, I'm not under the power of Satan. I do my own thing. I'm under my own power. But you see, Satan is a deceiver and he's a liar. And he will draw you away from the things of God, and he will say, look at these things. These are so attractive. These are so wonderful. Go and indulge in these things. Go and follow those things. And he will bring all sorts of things in your path. Things that seem so attractive. Seem so wonderful. But you see, Satan is a liar and he's a deceiver. And he pretends that they are good. But you see, the reality is that they are poison. It's like taking a tablet that's coated in sugar and swallowing and tasting it and thinking this tastes wonderful. It tastes so sweet. And as you swallow it, it's like poison that will destroy your body. And that's what Satan comes to do. He brings things in your path, and that they taste at the first instance so sweet and so good, but they will destroy your heart. They will destroy your soul. They will lead you to an everlasting hell. The very things that seem so sweet will actually poison you and destroy you, and will leave a terrible, bitter taste in your mouth. And that's why you can be delivered from the deceit and the lies of Satan. The moment you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be delivered from the power of Satan, and you'll be brought into the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful thing. And that they might receive forgiveness of sins. Think of it, all your sin taken away, washed away in a moment, all gone, all under the deepest sea. God forgetting it. God remembering it no more. Everything you've ever done that is wrong, everything that is against the name of God, all forgiven, all forgotten, never to be brought up again by God, who is the righteous judge. Him saying it's all dealt with because Jesus died upon that cross to deal with your sin. He paid the price. He paid the punishment. He was punished so that you didn't have to be punished. He went to the cross so that your sin could all be dealt with and washed away. Think of all the wrong thoughts, all the lies and the angry words that you've ever said. Think of the things that you've done that have been unkind and cruel and wrong. And think of all those things. And yet Jesus, who never did anything wrong, took on those things. And it was just as if he did all those things that you did wrong. And he was punished instead of you. And then finally it says that you're brought into an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. You see, the moment you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, you're made holy, and you have an inheritance with everybody else who has trusted in Christ. And you have that guarantee of spending eternity with God. And you have fellowship now with God. And you have his peace in your heart and joy in your heart. And that restlessness that's in your heart now will go. And you'll have peace in your heart. And whereas you've been searching for joy and happiness, he comes and brings you that joy that you've been searching for. And it's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the wonder of it all, that the Lord Jesus Christ takes a person who has been a wretched sinner and makes him a person, his very own, a child of God, and makes him his God's possession and has fellowship with him. You see, it doesn't matter the depths of your sin. It doesn't matter the depths that you've gone to. The Lord can bring you out and bring you through. And you see, it's about a real experience with God. It's about fellowship with God. It's not about religion. It's not about a set of rules. It's not about doing this and doing that. It's about being led by the Lord. It's about a fellowship with him and just allowing him to guide you day by day. It's a life-changing experience. And the Lord wants to reveal himself to you today. If only you will open your ears and open your heart and allow him to speak to you. And I pray with all my heart that you would seek him and allow him to reveal himself to you. Amen.